Brilliant, good morning. Is it afternoon? Yeah, no, it's still morning. Greetings from Hill Green. We were singing a song. Laura Littlewood was leading us in this song, The Lion and the Lamb, which we were singing earlier. She did another version of it. It's actions to it, actually. Anybody like action songs? And apparently when he says he's the lion, you do this business. You do that? And you know when it says he's roaring in power? He'd be going, he's roaring in, rah! And we all start to roar. Can you do that for me? He's roaring in patting. And Laura, like I'm going to say, said that wasn't very good. It was pathetic. So and about the third go, we got it ramped up to a proper sort of volume. So when lions roar, they don't go like a little tabby cat. They roar from the guts. Do you know what I'm saying? So maybe we have another go. Hey, he's roaring in. Yeah, it's good stuff. Gets you going, doesn't it? Nothing to do with the message, but actually it's good fun anyway. We're looking at Acts chapter 2, I think, aren't we? The series on devotion. Everybody enjoying the series on devotion? Too late if you're not, we're halfway through. And I love this word devotion, looking at the fellowship of believers. They were devoted. And I often think, what does this word devoted actually mean? And to me, I sort of think of it in the sense of, you know when you declutter something, you give something away, don't you? You declutter. You get rid of the clutter. You move the clutter out. You declutter. And so for me to devote means to give away my vote. To give away my preference, to say it's not about me anymore, it's give myself to someone or something else. Do you know what I'm saying? And that to me captures something about these early disciples. They'd understood that the Christian gospel was not for them just to be indulging themselves, it was for them to give themselves to it. And their Christianity was not a convenient Christianity, not a comfortable Christianity. It's a Christianity they devoted themselves to. They devoted themselves to Jesus, they devoted themselves to the fellowship of believers. And we've been looking at this over the recent weeks. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to breaking of bread, to fellowship. And we're moving on a little bit, and I think in verse 43, look at some of the consequences of that devotion. Because when God's people are devoted, I believe there are consequences. And here's the stuff. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. That's the verse we're looking at today. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give it to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who had been saved. Isn't it wonderful? I believe this stuff in Acts isn't a history lesson. It's an object lesson for us. It's how we're supposed to be. It's a blueprint. You know what I'm saying? It's a blueprint for how church is meant to be. Church isn't some stuff that you're in a service that you go to on a Sunday. Church is relationship. It's folk devoted together to the stuff we read about in Acts 2, verse 42 to 47, isn't it? Yeah. I'm looking for agreement. Say, yes, Nick. Yes. Not religion. It's relationship. Something far better than religion is on offer in the gospel. Let me get my notes out so I know what I'm talking about. This whole theme about signs and wonders is repeated through the book of Acts. It wasn't just a one-off here. Acts 4, verses 29 says, "Now, Lord," this is his disciples praying, "consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." In Acts 5, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, it says. In Acts chapter 6, it says, "Stephen, a man full of grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people." This was common stuff. There were many signs and wonders. It wasn't just the odd one or two. Do you know what I'm saying? There were many signs and wonders going on. Has anybody here ever seen a miraculous sign or wonder? Just put your hand up if you have. Not to embarrass anybody, it's always just useful to know what we've seen and what we haven't seen and who's seen it. Yeah. So some of us have seen some signs and wonders. All of us want to see more, yeah? And who, again, put your hand up if you're frustrated by the subject. Downright disappointed at times. Upset, been disappointed, cried tears. I'm just trying to be real. Now, this isn't an academic lecture. This is something, hopefully some life in it for us to understand we're on a similar sort of page. We know there should be signs and wonders. We know there are signs and wonders today. We simply want more, don't we? We ache for more at times. And I don't want to upset anybody here this morning. I know even now, as I'm speaking, some people are saying, well, yeah, that's nice, but, and I've been there. I'm there quite often. But we want to see more, don't we? It's an area we want to grow in and understand there's no formula. I wish there was a formula. I wish it was as simple as knock a few prayers together and you get a miracle or a sign or a wonder. There isn't a formula, is there? Do you know, sometimes we think if we can just sort of twist God's arm up his back, if we can fast a little bit more, you know, and go to a few more prayer meetings and read a bit more Bible and a few more books, eventually we'll cough out of him a miracle and a sign. Because we have faith in our faith, don't we? Rather than faith in God, there's a subtle difference. Anybody ever play The Penny Falls? You go to the end of Llandudno Pier and you go to the amusement. Do you go to the amusement arcades often, Jane? Oh, interesting. We'll pray for you afterwards. And I, of course, never been. But and The Penny Falls, you put your coins down. If you put enough of them, eventually it tips over some at the end and they all come down and you put them back in again and you waste your money and you lose it all. Yeah, but it's fun when you sort of bung them down and they come over. Sometimes we treat our prayer life like that. If you just bung a few more in, eventually if something knock out, it's inevitable. Do you know what I'm saying? It's utter rubbish, but it's a sort of thing we can slip into. We need to get hold of the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God helps me to navigate through this stuff. If we don't get hold of the sovereignty of God, we're in trouble. We're all over the place. We're buffeted around according to what's happening and what's not happening. We need to know that God's on the throne and we're not. The Apostle Paul was a decent Christian, according to my Bible. He raised people from the dead. Remember Eutychus, the young man who fell asleep during his sermon? I'm looking around, he's very sleepy today. I've got my eye on you at the back. But Eutychus was a bit sleepy. He fell out of a window. And worse than falling asleep, he fell dead. So Paul went down and got him up and brought him back. And he said, "You haven't finished my sermon yet. Come and hear the rest of it." And he was up the whole night. So he raised someone from the dead. But in the same Bible we're reading, the other guys, he couldn't heal. There's Eutychus he did heal. Timothy had a stomach complaint. I can relate to that. Epaphroditus had a life-threatening sickness. And Trophimus, he had to leave ill in Miletus. This is the Apostle Paul. Let's get rid of any foolish notions as a formula for us to try to get hold of signs and wonders. I like reading some of Tozer's stuff. Does anybody here like Tozer? One of my favorite spiritual boot boys. He's done a devotional here called "Dare We Expect Miracles Today?" I also long in the tender mercies of Christ that among us there may be the following. Answers to prayer. Miracles should not be uncommon. I'm not a miracle preacher. I've been in churches where they announce miracle meetings. If you look in the Saturday newspaper, you'll see occasionally someone will hit town and announce, "Come out and see the miracles." That kind of performing I do not care for. You cannot get miracles as you would get a chemical reaction. You cannot get a miracle as you get a wonderful act on stage by a magician. God does not sell himself into the hands of religious magicians. I do not believe in that kind of miracles. I believe in the kind of miracles that God gives to his people who live so close to him that answers to prayer are common, and these miracles are not uncommon. John Wesley never allowed himself to preach miracles once in his life. But the miracles that followed John Wesley's ministry were unbelievable. I love this. On one instance, he had to make an engagement, and his horse fell lame and could not travel. Wesley got down on his knees beside his horse and prayed for its healing. Then he got back up and rode without the horse limping to where he was going. He did not publicize the miracle and say, "We'll have a big tent here and advertise it." God just did those things for him. These are the kinds of miracles I'm talking about. That God just does things as we go along. We'll make 4 points from the scripture today in terms of verse 42, 43. Just understanding, first point, that the believers were devoted and they were loving. They loved the Lord, they loved people. Let me give you a quote. "It is a great danger to want signs and wonders because they sound neat or merely because you think they would make your faith stronger. That is almost a sure way to spiritual self-centeredness. What we should really want is that Christ be honored through our self-sacrificing love for others. The greatest need we have is not for gifts of healing. The greatest need is to care that people are sick. The greatest miracle is that our hearts begin to care more about the lostness and pain of others than about our personal comforts and leisure plans." That smells a little bit like the early church to me. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, including gifts of healing." And often when we talk about signs and wonders, we are talking about healings. And we can be selfish. I can be selfish. I can remember going to Kazakhstan. And one of the times we were in Kazakhstan, we had sort of meeting for the church, anybody else they brought up in the mountain, sort of come hill area. Where was it? I don't remember either. It was somewhere up in the hills, wasn't it? And amongst a number of people who had come were a number of folk who'd come from Uzbekistan. They'd brought these kids that were all crippled, in wheelchairs and what have you. And I had a nasty feeling at some point during the week, somebody in our team would suggest that we prayed for these little kids in the wheelchairs. But I didn't want to. And the reason I didn't want to was I didn't think much would happen. And I reckon I'd get upset. So I felt sorry for the kids, and I didn't want to be upset. And so I kept putting it off. And then, well, lo and behold, one night, somebody in the team said, we need to pray amongst other folk for these kids. And I said, yes, of course we do. And so in the midst of the meeting, we started praying for these children all over, playing wheelchairs and what have you. And of course, I landed the cutest one right in front of me. And I was praying for him. And after a while, I sort of asked his mother what was going on, because the lad seems happy as anything, actually. And he said he could feel like electricity going up and down his legs. And I thought, well, I'll keep praying. And I kept praying, but that's all he got, electricity up and down his legs. He was happy as a sandboy. He loved it, you know. On the other hand, just started to cry, because I just wanted to, be well, you know. And I looked around, I could see others, you know, similarly upset, you know. And I thought, well, it's not about me. Who cares what I think? Who cares if I'm upset? These kids are precious. God, so I shouldn't be thinking about how I feel. It's about how they feel. You get the drift? I don't think the early believers had that problem. They just got on with it. And they love people. I need to love people more. We do as well. I have a quote here. The reason I have lots of quotes, by the way, is I'm fairly dim. So I use other people's stuff because it's better than anything I could say. So I repeat it to you so you get the benefit of that rather than me. Gifts of healing and workings of miracles. There's an overhead for this, by the way. Gifts of healing and miracle workings of miracles are not for self-exaltation, but for the benefits of others. They are meant to be expressions of love. They are. Point two, the believers were filled with awe. We were singing earlier on, weren't we? I stand in awe of you. Are we in awe of him? We have to get the balance right these days. We need to have a reverential fear of being in awe of the Lord. I mean, it's true that Jesus is our friend, isn't he? God's our loving Father. The Holy Spirit is our counselor, the one who comes alongside and helps. But he's still God at the same time. He's still God in heaven. And I find sometimes I just need to get back to that position where I'm more in awe of God. I believe that the wonders came out of the awe. Not the awe from the wonders. I honestly think it was that way round. Here's something to make you think. You know we're in the solar system, don't you? That bit's quite easy. And our solar system is in the Milky Way galaxy. So in terms of trying to get some scale, if our solar system is this coin, and Earth is in there somewhere, in terms of the Milky Way galaxy that we happen to be in, if that's our solar system, our galaxy is the size of North America compared with the coin. So on that basis, Earth is about the size of the Queen's eyelash. And sail wouldn't constitute a freckle. Do you know what I'm saying? And apparently on that scale, the sun is smaller than a grain of sand. And there's 100,000 million stars in our Milky Way. 100,000 million stars in our Milky Way galaxy. And so far, there's 100 billion galaxies in the observable universe. And God said, stars. And this is the God we sing songs to. And pretend we know lots about. If you could add up everything that we know and anybody's ever discovered about God, and add it all together, some of that knowledge would probably be less than 1% of who God is. You know, I stand in awe of you. And we need to be in awe. I'm going to talk a lot about Kazakhstan today. I remember what, it's similar. We may even be in the same year we were there. I remember once we were at this outdoor sort of meeting, and we were speaking out of Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, and we were talking about wind blew. We said about a wind blowing. And just as we were saying that, this wind came and blew across the... I'll tell you what, we were in awe of the Lord then. I could see, look on Bill's face, it's true, it's what's happening now. We were in awe. We need to get in awe of God. We need to be in awe of Him. Have you ever been frightened to sin? I mean, I live most of my life in neutral, do you know what I'm saying? I'm not looking for it, I'll just go through neutral and, you know, try and do my best. There's been times, I remember when we were over in Pensacola in America, the revival there, I was frightened to sin. From the moment I got up in the morning, I was almost like blinkers on. I was just trying to get me through the meeting without too much damage so I can get right with God again. Do you know what I'm saying? We were frightened to sin. I remember one occasion, as Martin Duncan and myself and a couple of New Frontiers guys, we actually went for a dip, because there are some advantages of being in Florida. Went for a dip in the day. I remember coming out of the water and we walked out backwards. So we could see there were some women down the other end of the beach looking. It could have been, how can I put this without embarrassing myself? We could have been distracted. So we actually, rather than go out this way, we walked out backwards. Such was our seriousness of avoiding sin. And we came back and the fear of the Lord fell on our household, didn't it? And Martin, it was awesome. Maybe we need to get some of that awe back in our hearts. Point three. There were many miraculous signs and wonders. There were many, not one or two signs and wonders. There were loads of them. And there's at least 17 times where miracles helped lead to conversions in the book of Acts. We haven't got time, but you can have a look in Acts chapter 9, verse 32 to 42. Aeneas and Dorcas, two guys who were healed, and folk just sort of got saved on the spot. Many signs and wonders going on in the world today. Even as I speak at the moment, I believe in faith that signs and wonders are going on across the planet. In various settings, particularly in the suffering church. We read a lot about that. If you're not sure about miracles and signs, and one's got loads of books, I read loads of stuff, and I'm only telling you about stuff that's happened in my life this morning. There's dreams going on in the Muslim world, in Manchester. I know people are coming to Christ through that experience as well. And they are wondrous and do encourage in this life, don't they? There are many miraculous signs and wonders. I've probably told a few people this before, but it always amazes me. We went to church in Bethel a couple of years ago. If you'd asked me one thing I'd love to have happened when I was there, it was to get healed. If anybody's still praying for you to get healed, keep praying. I do appreciate it. But I'd love to have got healed. But we spent 4 or 5 hours one day in the Bethel prayer. It's not even a prayer room, it's a prayer building. They have a special building for prayer. It's open 24/7. You can go in any time and just pray. It's one of those places it's easier to pray than not to pray because God's so close. And you just stay there because why would you want to be anywhere else if the presence of God is there? Nothing else compares with it. So we just stayed there and you kept praying for about 4 or 5 hours. You think it was longer, don't you? I must have fell asleep. But anyway, it was. We spent all day there. We got back in the car afterwards and Sue made that classic remark, what's wrong with your face? Not the first time someone said that, but this was a different sort of context. What's wrong with your face? I had a look in the car mirror and there it was. My face literally was glittering. And as soon as you put your face in sunlight, we start glittering. No, that's a bit weird. Is it someone popped my face? Checked my arms and my legs, because my legs were covered. And put yanked up track. No, then my knees were sparkling as well. And we just sat there and you started crying a bit and I thought it's all true. All this stuff we believe by faith over the years that God's with us and here and real. It's by faith normally, isn't it? But this was like in my face, literally in my face. And it lasted for 3 weeks. And every morning, I think, is it still there? Stick my arm out in the sun. Because if you put your arm in any sort of light, it would start glittering again. And it was transferable. I could put my hand on Sue's shoulder and just take it away. And the shoulder would light up and start glittering as well. And what does it mean? It means that God has given a reminder that He's real and He's there. It's phenomenal. It wasn't a universal experience. No one spoke to us, said anything to us, prayed over us or anything. It just happened. Interesting, if I was sharing a story with someone from Stretford in the record shop there the other day, his explanation was we're pumping LSD through the air conditioning system. So there you are, a 3-week trip. Didn't cost a bean either. This is when God comes. It was a sign, isn't it? It's a sign and a wonder. And it happened, so I can tell you about it. If you think I'm fibbing, ask my wife. She tells the truth. Fourthly, and just trying to wrap things up, these were signs. Signs and wonders. This is on the overhead as well, I think. Signs and wonders do not save. They are not the power of God unto salvation. But they can shatter the shell of disinterest. Shatter the shell of cynicism. And they can shatter the shell of false religion. And can cause people to look at the gospel of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Don't you want that? I want that to be a consequence of our devotion. I don't want to get there on the cheap. But oh, I want to see disinterest shattered. Cynicism shattered and false religion go. So people can then look at the gospel of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That is the incredible miracle that's on offer. See, these are signposts, these signs. They point the way. If you're traveling down to London on the M1, you see a sign that says London. It's not London, is it? It's a sign that says London's down there. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a sign that something else is ahead. And these miracles we're talking about aren't just to us to be indulged in some way. They're signposting the way ahead. Because we know we're going to a place, actually, where it's going to be total signs and wonders, miracles, and that's a way of life, don't we? Well, I do. I do. I know there's going to come a time where we're going to hit Revelation 21, where there'll be no more tears, no more dying, no more mourning, no more pain, no more any of that. I know it's going to happen. That's ahead. And these signs and wonders are signs towards that, where there isn't anybody ill. Do you not long for that? Yeah. Stick your hand up if you do. I'm up for it. Do you know what I mean? Bring it on. And the greatest sign and wonder of them all. What's the greatest sign and wonder of them all? It's the cross, isn't it? What's the biggest miracle of all? The cross. The funny thing was, when Jesus was on the cross hanging there for you and me, people looked at him and said, get off the cross and we'll believe in you. In other words, do this miracle getting off the cross and we'll believe in you. The greatest miracle of all time is the fact he stood on the cross. He stayed there and didn't get off. He stayed there for you and me. So our sins could be forgiven, so we could know him. So we understand that in terms of history, God created the world. The world fell. The world has fallen in love with itself, with its own shadow, and indulges itself. It's called sin. Jesus came to die on the cross, paying the price for that sin, making a way for us to know God the Father, pointing the way towards his coming again, when he will come again and bring heaven on earth, when actually Revelation 21 happens. That's in our future. So these signs and wonders are like, if that's the sun of the future, it's like the sunlight breaking into the here and now. So if we see a sign and wonder, if we see someone healed, it's not about them necessarily, it's about that. Pointing towards that which is ahead for each one of us. Yeah? So I want to see more signs and wonders, because I want to see more of that breaking into now. It's not about actually, does God love so-and-so more than so-and-so because he's done a sign and wonder? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It's simply graciously him giving some shafts of sunlight from the future into the here and now to tell us what's ahead. In other words, it's a signpost to London, and London's there. And you've already got the ticket because the cross has already happened. Amen? And that's the truth for us. These are foretastes according to the coming kingdom. So the early believers were devoted, filled with awe, and saw signs and wonders, illustrating the glory of God. And our response should be like theirs, I believe. We need to do something about this stuff. In Acts chapter 4, we read about the believers' prayer. And they prayed this: "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hands to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." I'm not sure it's so much about what we pray as how we pray. Do you know what I'm saying? We're not reading out the collect for the third Sunday in March. It's something from our guts that comes out and says, Lord, we want to see these signs and wonders. Not for our sake, but so the world can see and get a full taste of who you are and what you're about and what's ahead. We want to see your kingdom breaking into the here and now for the sake of your name, so people could look to Christ and see the glory of God in the face of Christ. That's what we want. We need to be those who are full of awe, full of devotion. We can't afford to mess about. We can't mess about with this glorious gospel message, can we? We haven't got time to mess about. We've got to proclaim it and get it out there, get it across to people in any way, shape or form. I want to see signs and wonders on the streets, not just in the church. I remember for New Frontiers Church, we'd pray for about a dozen people, I understand, for healing. They prayed for them, nothing happened. They went out of the meeting, got to the bus stop. As they went to the bus stop, they were getting healed on the way, outside the church. I love that. Outside the church, not locked in a building, getting healing on the streets is where we want it, so we can understand who Jesus is. I don't know how to finish this morning. I don't want to finish this morning, but should finish this morning. And so I felt actually was, I wrote this down during the week. It was just an expression. Fall on your knees. Fall on your knees. And then Phil, during the worship, used a song. Probably was the line in the Lamb song, actually. He said, every knee shall bow before him. And I wonder if God wants us to bow the knee afresh to him this morning. Out of some sort of devotion, really, saying, we're about your cause. We're about this. We want to pray. Fill us with your spirit. We want to be devoted. Maybe the band could play or do something. And I just want to give an invitation. If you want to make some steps towards committing yourself, I want to be devoted to you. I want to be devoted to this stuff. I want to be devoted to fellowship, all this stuff we've been reading about. I want to get hold of you in a fresh way and bow the knee before you. You may want to literally bow your knees if you can do that. I don't have to at all. This is just a helpful thing. I just feel out of this. I want to do some business with the Lord, really. And so in a sense, if you want to express some devotion, sort of sense of falling on your knees afresh, then you can find some room at the front, do that, or maybe in the seat where you are. If you want to get yourself right with God, come to the front or stay where you are. Just pray to him. And if you want to join me in praying, a similar sort of prayer. I'm just going to pray out of this Acts chapter 4, 1. About stretch out your hands to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders. If you're like me, I'm sure you haven't got to think very long to think, you know, you want signs and wonders you want to see, healings you want to see for people, even out of today. And I'm not here to lead anybody up the garden path. I'm simply saying these are the stuff we should be praying as believers. You've got a song, have you? Yeah, you do a song, and I'll pray. And feel free to stay where you are. Say, I'm going to try and do some business around here at the front. Nothing special about the front, but it's just sort of sometimes getting out of our seat and making a move just shows God we're serious in some way. Is that okay? Lord, I want to echo this prayer now from Acts chapter 4. I want it to be our prayer here this morning and say, Lord, would you stretch out your hand, Lord? Will you stretch out your hand over this church? We know, but your servants here, Lord, to be devoted and to speak your word with great boldness. Will you stretch out your hand to heal? Will you stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus? If you're with me, you might want to stand, you may want to kneel, you want to sit down, but can you pray that same prayer? But don't just repeat it after me. Pray it from your heart. Pray it from somewhere deep within and express where you are with God. Do you want him to do these things? Not for our sake, but for sake of his name, to point the way ahead and for the sake of people who can be blessed as well. Will you pray out? You may want to pray silently if you're like me. Well, just raise your voice and pray where you're at. Pray that you want to be more devoted. Pray that you want to be serious with God. Pray that you can just receive his love afresh today. Pray that he will enable you to speak out for the sake of the gospel. Pray, speak it out, shout it out, cry it out. But let's express something to God. We're not here just for some religious performance. We're not here to look good. We're here to express ourselves, to be honest before our God as he's honest before us, as he communicates by his Holy Spirit. He's here. He wants to commune with us. We want to commune with him. Maybe you want to fall on your knees. Maybe you need to stand in awe. Maybe we need to do whatever we need to do. Do it. Let's not mess about. Let's get a hold of God and understand his great purposes for the church. Lord, we want to be devoted followers. We want to be devoted followers. Would you send your Holy Spirit in a fresh way upon us, Lord, that we would be devoted? Lord, we can't do it by ourselves. Help us, Lord. Take us, we people that we are. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would have a fresh vision of who you are, a fresh excitement for the gospel, a fresh desire to share it, a fresh desire to pray out for signs and wonders. Lord, will you help us, Lord? Will you help us where we've been disappointed, where we've been hurt, Lord, where we've been upset, where we've lost people, where we've wanted miracles and haven't seen them? Take away our disappointment, Lord. Take it away. Free us up, I pray, in a fresh way, Lord, that we get hold of you and say, we want to see awesome signs and wonders. honours in our day, not for the sake of your church, Lord, but for the sake of your name, that you are the God of miracles, you are the God of signs, you're the God of wonders, you're an awesome God, and you're in heaven, you're our friend, but you're awesome as well, Lord. We want to be awestruck in a fresh way before you. Come and fill us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Come and do a fresh work in us as we worship you now, Lord. Come and hear our devotion. Come and feel our awe of you, our love of you, our delight in you. But come, Holy Spirit, we pray. We can't do this by ourselves. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Let's worship.